Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to welcome John and Debbie. Is that right? From Pearland, Texas. So everybody get to meet them tonight. Hallelujah. They came all the way up here to hear Robert. They listen to him on AM radio. They're down there south of here. And so they get me tonight. So anyway, so Sunday I talked about keeping a position in Christ Jesus. And we talked about the fact that Jesus has brought us to a place of grace where we now stand. So we have the position of faith, we have that position of grace, and we have the position of freedom. We are free from the law of sin and death. And we can walk in that freedom because we have been set free. And I finished with two verses on Sunday, Philippians 1:27 and Ephesians 6:12 and 13. And that's where I want to pick up tonight. And what I want to talk about is, what does it look like to stay in position? That's what we want to talk about tonight. So, get your Bibles out. Woo! Good on you. Philippians 1:27, if you'll flip over there. Now, I'm going to give you the verse in Revised Standard Version because that's what I memorized it in. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you stand firm in one faith, or in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Now, I want to take a closer look at this verse. It's in the RSV, it says, only let your manner of life. In King James, it says conversation. In the New King James, it says conduct. And in the New Living Translation, is actually closer to the meaning of the Greek word. And it says, as citizens of heaven. And the Greek word there is politoumai. And it actually means to be a citizen. And more importantly, it means to behave as a citizen. Where is our citizenship? In heaven. Philippians 3:20 says, but our commonwealth is in heaven, or our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body. Amen? So our citizenship is in heaven. There are other verses. Ephesians 1:3 says that, may you be blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. So we have all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6 says that we have been seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Amen? So that's where our citizenship is. And if that's where our citizenship is, then we should behave as citizens of heaven. So as a citizen, what do we do? What are we subject to? Think about being an American. Or even better, think about being a Texan. You're subject to the government of that kingdom. You're subject to the laws of that kingdom. And you're also subject to the behavior, the characteristics of that kingdom. You know, we live in Texas. I wear blue jeans, wear boots, wear a hat, say yee-haw, and I'm a citizen of Texas. Well, as citizens of heaven, we should be subject to the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in the kingdom of God. We, in all of our conduct, in all of our walking, in all of our behavior, we should exhibit those characteristics. We can begin with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of those. And so that should typify who we are as we stay in position. And then it says that we should stand firm in one spirit. Now, the word for stand firm is stako, and it means stand firm, be fixed, be established. And it has that sense that you stay fixed, you stay firm, you stay established, you don't waffle, you're not firm today and infirm tomorrow. But we stay firm, we stay fixed, we stay established in one spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul is he's writing the church at Corinth, and he's given them this question: do you not know that you are the temple of God and that God's Spirit dwells in you? And in that particular verse, you is plural. So he's talking about the fact that not only does the Holy Spirit live in us individually, but the Holy Spirit lives in us collectively as the church. And the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we can be in one spirit. We can knit our spirits together. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and as we are knit together in one spirit, then we exhibit all those characteristics as a citizen of heaven. It also says that with one mind we should strive side by side for the faith of the gospel. The Greek word for striving side by side is synaphleo. Now, this is really a really neat word because it means that we are striving at the same time with one another. We are synchronized. As we strive together, we do it all together at the same time. To strive means to devote serious energy to and to struggle in opposition. So, as a citizen of heaven, we are striving side by side for the faith of the gospel in opposition to Ephesians 6:12. That says we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Amen? So, citizens, we are the body of Christ. We are firm and established in one spirit, and with one mind, we are thinking with one mind as we strive together at the same time for the faith of the gospel in opposition to the principalities and the powers. Amen? All right. Okay. I want to confess that the Lord has been hard on me lately about this very truth. I told you Sunday that I can't get up here and share these things unless the Lord had transacted them in me first. And I've had to take a knee and say, oh, Father God, I want to be like that. I want to be a good citizen. So let me ask you a question. This is not a rhetorical question. I expect an answer. Do you believe what we just read in Philippians 1:27. Yes? Now, I'm talking about not a mental assent to it. I'm talking about a belief, a faith in the Word of God, which we know is true, that you are willing to act upon. Are you there? Okay. So I'm going to be hard on you tonight. And here's what I ask you to do. Philippians 1:27 says that we're of one spirit, we're one mind, and we're striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. So I want all of you to come sit right here, side by side. And I don't want any chairs between you. Right here. No, this section. Just come fill this section up. Not one long row, you know, but I want you to be in like a phalanx, you know, like a Spartan phalanx, where you're in a box. Yes. So come up here and sit here. Y'all too, over here. No chairs in between you. We're going to prove the Word of God tonight. Who can quote Romans 12:2? Say it louder. That you may prove what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. We're going to prove that tonight. Amen? Okay, this looks so cool. Now, I want to ask you something. This isn't as filled up as I had envisioned, but I'll let you get away with it like this. Now, I want to ask you this as you settle down next to each other. How does this make you feel?
United.
Amen? As one. Okay? Do you feel closer now than you did a while ago? Okay. All right. Well, with that, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 15. I've never figured out how Robert manages to maneuver the water bottle as well as he does. I would end up splashing it. I was down preaching at Central Christian Church, and behind their podium they have this little dealy where the water bottle can sit on the podium. And I picked it up and went to take a drink, and the cap was still on. So it didn't work very well. All right, Romans 15. Okay. Now, this is going to be maybe a little bit of audience participation. Why? Because we're one. We're of one spirit. We're of one mind. And I want you to, as we sit here together, I want you to practice being one mind in one spirit. Because listen, you're the body of Christ. We're not a bunch of individualists. In Texas, we like to say we're individualists and we tote a gun and ride a horse. But we are the body of Christ. And so here we're going to act like the body of Christ as we share the word with one another and build one another up. So, I want to say that in chapter 14, Paul is talking about the problem with some people who are weaker in faith. and they won't eat certain foods, and then others think that those foods are okay. And in verse 1 of chapter 14, he says, accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. 14. Yeah. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It won't look exactly like yours unless you're looking up there. Are you putting NLT up there, Jake? Okay. Accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. So all right off the bat, Paul is saying, hey, we've got a relationship with one another. And we're going to be of one mind and we're going to be of one spirit. Then there are certain things that we have to do. Now, let's flip over to 15. So he's talked about all that in chapter 14. And in 15, verse 1, he says, we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this, the things that he just talked about regarding food. We must not just please ourselves. There's some times where I just want to please myself. And for some people, they want to please themselves all the time. And that doesn't go with the body of Christ. So it says here that we must not just please ourselves. Who knows Philippians 2, 3 and 4 by heart? Anybody know those verses? Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others as better than yourselves. Let us not look not only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. So that goes right along with this, that we must not just please ourselves. Verse 2, we should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. We, sitting right here, shoulder to shoulder, side by side, striving for the faith of the gospel, should be helping one another to do what is right and to build them up in the Lord. If we're fixed, if we're standing firm and we're not waffling and we're not being battered around by every wind of doctrine, which we're going to look at in a minute, then we should always be building one another up in the Lord. We should always be helping one another do what is right. So let that sink deep down into your heart and into your spirit tonight, because don't go away tonight forgetting what you heard. Because we're supposed to be not just hearers of the word, but doers also. And so think about that. How you are going to help others in the body of Christ do what is right and to build them up in the Lord, not tear them down. All right? For even, verse 3, for even Christ didn't live to please himself. Amen? As the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. So, along with this being one mind and one spirit, as we strive at the same time together, then we should be waiting patiently in hope, there's another position, and encouragement as we wait for God's promises to be fulfilled. You know, we live in a society of instant gratification. You know, you drive up to your favorite fast food joint, whatever it is, whether it's McDonald's or Burger King or Nora's Tacos, and you want it like now, and you want it just my way. But the Lord is saying that we should exhibit, as citizens of heaven, hope, and we should be encouraged in the Lord, and we should wait patiently for His promises to be fulfilled. Because guess what? They will be fulfilled. You can count on it. Jesus is coming again. And we, the church, must be ready. Your lamps should be full of oil. The wicks should be trimmed. And you better have some extra oil. Let's look on. Verse 5, may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, so this patience that we have, this hope, this patience, this encouragement, comes from God. Let Him fill you with hope and encouragement. The scriptures that were written long ago that are truth give you that. So you need to fill yourself up with the truth every day so that you push out all the negative thoughts of the world and you fill yourself with truth so that you will have patience, you will be encouraged, and help you live in complete harmony with each other as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. So harmony, what we're doing right here, right now, this is harmony. This is harmony in the visible, in the here and now. It is thrilling to me to sit right here, this close, to all y'all, shoulder to shoulder, and just see and actually feel and sense in my spirit the harmony. And that's what the Lord is doing. He is doing that in us. So when we act as citizens of heaven, and we sit together like this, and we show that we're one, and that we are striving together at the same time, then we are going to experience harmony. And harmony is a good thing. I don't know about you, but if you've ever tried to listen to a quartet that all four of them aren't singing in the same key, that's not harmonic. It's discordant. And so the Lord wants us to be in harmony, and we're going to get to practice that in a minute. Because of verse 6. I'm just doing what the Lord told me to do. You know what? Jesus, in the gospel, He says, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I say what He tells me to say, and I say it the way He tells me to say it. Okay? So as I was before the Lord, He said, do this. I said, whew, okay. So, wait, we get to do some more stuff here at this next verse. Verse 6, then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's go on to verse 7, and then I'm going to come back to 6. Verse 7, therefore, and you know, whenever you see a therefore, you want to know what it's there for, right? So, all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Amen. How did Christ accept you? Arms open wide. How else did He accept you? Just as you are. What's Romans 5:8 say? Huh?
While we were still sinners.
Yeah.
Christ died for us.
God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how he accepted us. Come as you are. So he accepted you while you were still a sinner. You were dirty. And now he's telling us here, accept each other just as Christ accepted you. So we need to accept one another, like he just said over in 14:1, says, accept other believers who are weak. And don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. So we're to accept one another. So every one of you sitting next to each other ought to accept one another. That is not a suggestion. It is a commandment. And citizens of a kingdom obey the sovereign. Back to verse 6. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, one other thing about verse 7. If you don't accept one another, guess what happens? God will not be given the glory. When you accept one another, he gets the glory. And when we give praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, with one voice, we do that in harmony. We do it in one spirit and with one mind. So, we're going to do that right now. Do you know the song, Jesus Loves Me? Who doesn't know Jesus loves me? Everybody knows it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Okay, the problem that I have seen in churches is that we get in this praise mode and we're doing it as an individual to the exclusion of the rest of the body. And what I want to practice tonight, and here's, and I'm going to give you a verse. I keep saying practice. It's actually scriptural. In Hebrews 5, verse 14, it says, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training or practice have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So if we're going to mature as citizens of heaven, then we have to practice. And I would go so far to say that if we're supposed to be striving at the same time together, then we ought to practice together. Because then we get to practice harmony. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. But as you sing it, I would ask you to close your eyes because we're going to go to the throne of grace. This is not just practice. This is the real deal. We're going to worship the Father. It says there, we are giving praise and glory to God our Father. And so as we sing, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, as you close your eyes, I want you to listen to the people around you. I want you to hear the body of Christ singing and praising. And as you do that, I don't care if you can't hold a tune. It's still worship. And as you sing, then I want you to try to meld your singing into with everybody else around you. Does that make sense? And this is going to take some practice because we don't do it. Oftentimes, I can't even hear anybody around me singing. I don't know if they are or not, or maybe I'm just singing too loud. But So modulate your voice to be able to listen to the people around you. And then we're going to sing Jesus Loves Me, just the first verse. This I know, for the Bible tells me, they are weak, he is strong. Little ones, yeah. Okay, you know the tune. Here we go. So I'll start us off, and even though I have the mic, maybe if I'm too loud, Jake, turn me down, but we'll just start singing, okay? So here we go. Close your eyes. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. What did you notice?
Instantaneous.
Okay. Anything else? Did you notice something different than you normally do during praise and worship? You can hear the voice next to you. How does that make you feel?
Good.
Okay. Because there is a spiritual principle here. This is not just frequency modulation. And, you know, as Robert goes, you know, this is a spiritual principle where we are letting our spirits speak to our Father in worshiping Him because Jesus loves us. But we're doing it connected. We're doing it with one another. So let's give it one more shot, okay? Here we go. Close your eyes. We're going to the throne. We're going to the Father. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Oh, that was sweet. Amen. Okay, so when we meet again on Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday and Wednesday, practice that. Practice worshiping corporately. Practice listening to other citizens as they worship and worship together. Okay? All right. So, remember on Sunday, I gave you an analogy of being a fighter pilot. And I want to touch on that again. I want to bring that up one more time, because it goes along with everything that we've just been talking about. Being one mind, one spirit, striving side by side, having one voice in worship, building one another up, encouraging one another in hope, and waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled. All of those things. So when I was a fighter pilot, I was a member of a squadron. And we had three squadrons that made up a wing. And what we did was we all wore uniforms. All of us wore the same uniform. We all wear the same uniform. It's called the putting on Christ Jesus. And so we all wore the same uniform, and on this arm, on this shoulder, I had the squadron patch, and on this shoulder, I had the wing patch. And on right here on my chest, I had the patch for the major command that I belong to. Air Combat Command. Okay, so when I went to the squadron, I was with all of these other guys. We all wore the same uniform. So we were of the same mind and we were of the same spirit. We walked the fighter pilot ethos. We thought we were the best thing that ever strode Earth. And we knew that we could fly an airplane to perfection. And we would go out and as I mentioned on Sunday, we'd go out as a flight of four. We were all in unison. We were doing everything at the same time. And we were taking a strike package to a target in opposition to the enemy. And we struck the enemy with all of our might, all of our force, all of our skill. This is mentioned, by the way, in the Bible about the tribe of Zebulun. But we did that with all of that, and then we came back, and then we shared in the victory. So we were all one, and it is a perfect analogy to me of what we are in the Holy Spirit, in the body of Christ. We all wear the uniform. We're going to look at that now. So, without looking at your Bibles, tell me what the church is supposed to look like in Ephesians chapter 4. Anybody, just give me one of the things that you know about in Ephesians chapter 4 of what the body should be like.
Speak the truth in love.
What?
Speak the truth in love.
Speak the truth in love. How many have been coming to Living Waters for more than 15 years? One, two, three, four. How many for 10 years or less? Yeah. Yeah, okay. How many have only been coming here for a year? Stefan, only a year? Okay. Okay. All right. Okay, I'm going to step on some toes. So, if you've been coming to Living Waters for 15 years, 10 years, 5 years, you should know what Ephesians 4 talks about. Ephesians 4:11 says that the Holy Spirit gives some gifts, and some of these are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. So you do know what's in there.
Right, we just didn't know.
Oh.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Okay. Without throwing up the next verse, what are they supposed to do? For the work of the ministry. Have there been prophets and apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers here at Living Waters?
Yep.
So there's a problem in that either they're not equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry or the saints aren't responding to the equipping. So we need to be equipped. We need to do the work of the ministry. Okay, now flip your Bibles open because I want to finish up with this. This is very, very important. So go to Ephesians chapter 4 or look up on the screen. And this is a foot stomper, verse 13. So we are supposed to build up the body of Christ. All of those, the dudes with all of those gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher, are supposed to equip the saints to build up the body of Christ. Why? Verse 13. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So I submit to you that what we need to be doing, especially here at Living Waters, is that we need to be growing up in maturity so that we will come up to the full and complete standard of Christ. We can't stay babies. We can't stay toddlers. We have to grow up into full adulthood. When Goss was here some time ago, he mentioned a Greek word called huios. Do you remember that one? So in John 1:12, when it says, "But to as many as received him who believed on his name, he gave power to become children of God." That word for children is technon. And it means to be a baby. But when it talks about the Son of God, that word for son is huios. And it means to grow up into all the characteristics of your father. That's what huios is. And that's what we need to grow into, all of us, as we do Philippians 1:27, and as we do Ephesians 4:12 and 13, we will grow up into huios. And we will do it together. We will build one another up. We will help one another do the right thing. In order to do that, you cannot remain isolated. You cannot remain an island of one, but you have to fellowship with the saints. You have to be engaged in the fellowship of the saints. You have to do that, stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That day has a capital D, and that day is coming. And as these days get more and more evil, we have to be more and more holy. Somebody told me that I didn't preach long enough on Sunday, so I'm going to make up for it tonight.
We don't know.
How are you feeling out there? Are you feeling comfortable? Okay. 14. Then we will no longer be immature like children. See, it's not good to be immature. It's good to be mature. Okay? So that is where we need to be. As my old medical professors used to do, this is important. It's a foot stomper. It's going to be on the test. So this is important. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Listen, Paul knew that was going to happen in Romans 16. Romans 16, as you know, is a list of all these people that Paul is greeting, that he knows through all of his evangelistic travels, and all the people in all of the churches and the churches and households. And he's saying, "Oh, greet Silvanus and greet Junius and greet Aquila and Priscilla." And then right in the middle of all of that, he says, "And now I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you've been taught. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interest. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people." We cannot be ignorant of the enemy's devices. We have to know and understand what the truth is. If you don't know what the truth is, you're setting yourself up to be deceived. And Paul's warning that. He had the Ephesus elders together and he's saying, I'm going to leave you, but I know that when I do, the wolves are going to come in amongst you. So we need to become mature. All right. Instead of being tricked, instead we will speak the truth in love, like Jeannie just said, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's what keeping your position looks like. So you know that when you get out of position, it's not going to look like that. You're going to be out of fellowship. You're going to lose your joy. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to find that you're going to get angry. You're going to have unforgiveness in your heart. Oh, he just talks about that right here in the rest of 4. So he talks about, don't be like the Gentiles. And then he says in verse 20, for the sake of time, but that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And where was that verse, Jeannie, in Romans that talked about putting on the presence of Christ? 13:14. So let me read this real quick. This is really cool. Romans 13:14. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's putting on your uniform. You're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes you. Oh, it's Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's it. So we do this. We put on our new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And then he gives some things. Stop telling lies. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Because why? It gives opportunity to the devil. It gives a foothold to the devil. And we see that in freedom prayer all the time. And I'm going to get to freedom prayer here in a minute. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Don't use foul and abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. That's what we've been saying all along. You don't build people up with abusive language. You build them up with language that is truth. You build them up with language that leads them to their destiny. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. He is our guarantee. He is the good housekeeping seal of approval. And you are redeemed and you have that assurance. And then get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Now, that list of things right there, the anger and the bitterness and unforgiveness and all those things I just read, and all types of evil behavior, I'm sorry, but it's in you. There have been things that have happened in the past, and you hold a grudge, you have an offense against someone. There may be some things lurking in a dark corner that you don't even know about. And in fact, it may be that some time ago you took that ugly thing, whatever it happened to be, that has turned, given you this anger management problem, and you stuffed it in Davy Jones's locker, and you threw in some mothballs, and you put a lock on it, and you said, I don't want that anymore. But guess what? It's still there. In fact, you kind of smell like mothballs. So that's why we have the Freedom Prayer Ministry. Freedom Prayer is nothing more than what we have been talking about all night long, is where people who are striving side by side for the faith of the gospel with one mind, one spirit, one voice, one heart, get together to go to the throne of grace and let the Holy Spirit say, my child, you need to get rid of this, and I can do it for you. And we're just going to cut that ungodly belief out of here. So now you can go to the throne of your daddy with all confidence, with all boldness, with no guilt, with no shame, because you had an ungodly belief about who your daddy was. Done. In the twinkling of an eye. Done. Free. And it's that freedom that we talked about in Romans 6, that we have been placed in this place of freedom in His grace. And then in Galatians 5:1, where He says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free, so be sure that you stay free. So we should be doing that. We should be ministering that to one another all the time. It's everything that I've talked about tonight. You want to blow Robert's mind? Next Wednesday, you guys sit like this.
Yes. Yes. Great idea. Yes.
You want to do it?
Yeah.
Come on. Let's do it.
Okay. Whoever wasn't here tonight, you're going to have to let them in on the secret. Yeah. You know, drag them next to you and say, hey, we're striving together tonight.
Amen.
Right?
Shoulder to shoulder.
Huh?
Shoulder to shoulder.
Shoulder to shoulder. We're going to sit shoulder to shoulder. And Robert is going to go.
Can't leave for a week.
What happened? You want to do that? You want to do it like we did tonight after the worship? Come in and sit down together when he gets up here to preach?
Yeah.
All right, don't let me down. And then Robert's going to say, Lex, I'm never going to give you Wednesday night again. I'll work myself out of a job.
Either that or he'll give it to you.
Give me a little bit of feedback. Just one or two, three people maybe. How do you feel about things?
There's power.
Okay, we're supposed to be unified.
The Lord says that He'll move.
Okay.
If we're in agreement.
Okay.
If we're in agreement, yeah.
Okay. John and Debbie, is this weird?
She goes, uh-oh.
Yeah, they did. 1 John 1:9.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Give us our sins. Purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen. And he glorifies him. It doesn't glorify me. I don't get myself out of the jam that I put myself in. I just say, okay, I did it. I'm wrong. And he does it.
Amen. Amen. So, boy, you brought up a really good point. What does Robert always say? Repent. Repent. Because it's instant restoration. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. You're back in fellowship with all the body of Christ. That's how we preserve our unity. Good. All right. Well, we're going to close tonight. And I really sense in my spirit that there's one person tonight that the Lord's been speaking to close us in prayer. One person that wants to close us in prayer. So whoever that is, would you close us in prayer? Oh, Father, I agree with that, and I thank you that your anointing is upon us, and that you teach us the truth. You promised that you would guide us into all the truth, and you would even show us things that are to come. So our eyes are upon you, and we knit our hearts together, and we want to walk tonight. Even when we disperse and go to our homes, we're still walking in unity. We're walking in one spirit. We're walking with one mind, striving for the faith of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. You want to do the offering? Okay. So if anybody needs an offering envelope, it's going to take just lickety-split to pass it around because everybody's right here.